The following presentation is part of the Around the Galaxy podcast stream.
One man has eaten three Burger King fish sandwiches in the last day. The other has supported his local sushi restaurant. One sipping on white wine, the other sipping on mixed drink. This is the right podcast. I'm not joking. This is Streaming Star Wars. This is how we're introing the episode. That's right, folks. The budget's been cut in half. Why? Coronavirus. COVID-19. Episode 7 starts now. That's the best I could do. Hey, it's episode 17 of Streaming Star Wars with Ammo and Fletzer. I'm Ammo. He's Fletzer. And whether you're having raw sushi tonight, or maybe you're having fish because of religious obligations, or maybe you just eat a fat, meaty, freaking pizza because you don't give a damn. You've been locked in your home for 27 days. You're sick and freaking tired of it. Hey, we get to talk about Star Wars right now. I'm feeling fresh. I'm feeling hunky. I'm wearing a hoodie on top. Who knows what's on the bottom? How are you doing on your Friday, Pete?
I'm doing great, man. Wow. How do I even, I don't even know where to go from there. Like, do I go all serious, or do I get goofy? Or, but man, I'll tell you, I'm really just happy to be talking to other human beings. Not that I mind being, you know, in the house with a wife and children, but to be able to have vocal conversations with other human beings is a wonderful thing. Thank you for having us.
I will be honest with you. I have a broken toilet no more in the apartment. That was the leading story last week, if you remember, on Streaming Star Wars episode 16. It's available in podcast form on Around the Galaxy podcast stream and for Rewind on the Beyond the Blast Wars YouTube channel. And the plumber comes in today, and I could tell he was really thirsty for human interaction. I tried to walk away three different times, and this man just kept telling me about his life in Arizona before he moved to where I live now. He was a deputy sheriff. Now he's a handyman. He fought on the front lines of drug cartel shootings and immigration issues, and now he fixes clogged pipes. So anyways, he's like just talking, playing with my toilet. I'm like, man, I cleaned that thing out like 2 weeks ago. Hope it's okay. Anyways, so he fixes the toilet, and that's really the big update from the Beyond the Blast Door studio here in beautiful Midwest. Is that I have a functioning toilet again. So this is really nice. and this guy was just so friendly. And it just made me appreciate the fact that I'm not alone, in the sense that I'm craving. I love to visit with strangers. And I've really enjoyed my time at home. Indy and I are having a blast. We're doing movie marathons and doing a lot of, doing some reading, and we're cooking and a lot of barbecuing just to enjoy the outdoors a little bit. We're going on daily walks and runs. So like we're trying to get in shape and, just trying to, keep it as normal as possible, but just to have a human interaction, some conversation. I mean, we kind of like almost bumped into each other. That was a little awkward. It was kind of like a seventh grade mixer, right? It's like, you're not sure if you're supposed to touch or not. I'm pretty sure with the plumber, you're not supposed to touch the plumber at all, but he was like 55. I think he was a little skittish. He's like, I'm kind of close to that range where I'm like high vulnerability. I don't want to get infected. So I was like, all right, man, I'll touch all the doorknobs. Don't worry about it. Then he touched a freaking doorknob. And I was like, I had to clean that stuff out with the penicillin, not penicillin. What do you use it? The sanitizer stuff.
Yes,
comes out of the squirt bottle. I like doing this like water gun shoot thing. It's kind of fun. Anyways, so that's the latest in my home front. And that's, all things considered, that's pretty damn good. Talk to the family today. They're still healthy. And I think that's what's really important right now, is you just talking with friends, keep in touch with family, tell them you love them. And then when you have time, watch some Star Wars.
Absolutely. That's, that's one of the things that's been really great, I think, about having this community that we have of all the great Star Wars people. Like I've said it before, sort of there's the inner circle of sort of the people you talk to on a regular basis, the people who are on the show in our chat room and talking to us on Twitter every day. And then there's sort of the expanded Star Wars community. And then there's the entire Star Wars community. We're all hanging out and chatting and sharing opportunities through something that we all care about, which is this crazy saga. And we're getting some good stuff, I think, in the Clone Wars. Thank goodness Clone Wars started when it did, or we'd all be talking about Onward. Probably.
That was a really good segue, by the way, Pete. That was really convenient because there was a new episode today. I've been critical of the Clone Wars when we're talking about this final season. And what I mean by critical is I've really enjoyed the first, what was it, three or four episodes, but this whole, Martez, Sister Ahsoka thing has really not been my favorite. I thought Dangerous Debt was a significant step in the right direction, and I think it's just because you finally got into the Pikes being aggressive. You know, you're having shootout down the hallways of the prison. You see some Mandalorians pop up in some hoods. So as always, we're going to talk about what we liked, maybe some things we didn't like. But this
tons
is
spoilers.
Tons of spoilers. Because you know what? We could die tomorrow. I partially joke, but I'm kind of like not. Like, I don't know what the hell's going to happen with this COVID-19. I'm supposed to be married on May 30th this year. Do you really think that's going to happen? Like, look at me in the eyes. Do you really think that's going to happen?
I think you can get married. I just don't know if you're going to have the big party you might have had planned. But
No. It's looking like it's going to be the one-year anniversary party in 2021.
Oh yeah, you know, it's weird, man. I mean, I look at my kids, and this is like, this is the thing that they will, this is a major event. This is life changing. There's, you know, I feel for, first of all, I feel for all the people who are dealing with the health tragedies that we're seeing around. But then you also see, you sort of see that next level down of, you know, kids who have, you know, worked their entire life for their college degree and there's no graduation and there's, you know, high school and no high school graduation parties and all that stuff. And you know what? That's, I understand it, and I'm not minimizing any of the major issues because there are, God, too many deaths. But just what this has done, and but I think at the other, on the other side of it, I think there's this weird sort of, I was saying it the other day, and I promise we'll eventually get to Star Wars stuff. But I was saying the other day that it almost feels like we kind of almost needed this really bizarre world reset. You know, I was reading today. I should have my sources handy if I'm going to reference them. But I was reading today about how like they're literally showing that the Earth is shaking less. There is less seismic movement because people are hanging out and staying home. And I think we're all kind of getting to know our families and rediscovering things that we love to do and finding time and it just, you know, it's a very interesting time to be just in. Alive, right? I mean, somebody posted, I thought it was a very funny, poignant sort of tweet that said, I don't enjoy living in historic times.
No.
And it's, yes, it sucks. There's so much bad about it. But, you know, social media, I think, you know, we've talked about it before on both this show and when you were on my show and when I was on your show. And it's a common theme that I address quite often is the good and the bad of social media. And I'm hopeful that we're all looking for the good in social media right now, and we're all sort of leaning on each other where and when we can.
Yeah, I think so. It's like a mixed bag. It's like I find myself at work sometimes because at work all we're talking about on the news is COVID-19. And honestly, it's done two things. One, I think it's forcing a lot of people to find the more positive story. I think it's also helping folks regain a relationship with local news, which I think is outrageously important because your local news truly is working for you and is nothing but real. But I don't get political on this show. I don't talk about hot topics on this show. That's a joke from last week, too. You really should go back. I've already referenced it like twice. It was moderately at best, but it was still a good show. So it's done that, but finding those do-gooders, you know, we just did a story about this local artist in town who made yard signs, just promoting awareness about the needy population in our community, and they're $8 signs and they keep selling out and they just bring them to your yard and all the money goes to helping the homeless and restocking one of the pantries in town and working with the United Way. It's this huge city effort now, and it just started because this, you know, couple of artists wanted to, you know, do some art and try and do good, and so those kind of stories are really nice. And so I look for that too when I'm on social media because there's a lot of people doing good. I talked with my mom, and I'm not trying to brag about my mom, but she's in charge of food distribution at a major hospital in St. Louis, and she's been asked to help make masks. She knows how to sew, and so she's doing that, and so. And there's just stories like that all over the place, obviously not just in St. Louis, but, across the country. I mean, you're seeing some pretty incredible stuff out of New York right now and Chicago and these large metropolitans where, yeah, it's spreading fast and it's not peaking for 3 weeks and people, you know, we just get to move our wedding reception. Like I understand there are people who have it far worse. So it's those do-gooders that really inspire me, make me very thankful for my situation, because it could be a lot more difficult, and thankful that I have all my loved ones happy and healthy. And it allows us the opportunity to talk about Star Wars, because like today, for example, I went and said bon voyage to a mentor of mine, because he's taking a new job, and I love the man, great person. And I came home and I napped, and then I got to wake up from my nap and pull up Clone Wars. And it was a really nice way to wake up, because like I was starting to say, the episode to me was really enjoyable, because I just felt like it got back on track. It felt like the show kind of forgot where it was going for two episodes, and we were just following these antics. And I think there's quite a bit to get excited about from this 21 minutes as you get ready for Together Again next week. Pete, shall we just dive on in? Do we need to shout out the live chat? We should probably do that real quick, because everyone's
in there
hanging out with us here on the Friday night. We've got Nick hanging out with us. He wants to know that white wine that you're drinking. Pete, are you confident or comfortable as a wine connoisseur to admit what you're drinking right now?
Yeah, I am. I was saying a little bit earlier, actually, before I jumped on here, I was on and Nick was with me. We were on a quick live Zoom. It wasn't even broadcast or anything. It was a Zoom with the Force Toast girls. I don't know if you guys listen to them. They're really funny, but really good. But I was saying that I've been drinking since 5 o'clock Eastern time today, and I went out and got some sushi, supported my local sushi place, and can't have sushi without white wine. But unfortunately, all my cheap white wine is it's in use, or it's been used, and so all I had left was this is a Stag's Leap. So this is it's not a crazy expensive bottle of wine, but it's a bottle of wine that I'm going to make sure I finish while it's still in good shape. It's really good though. But yeah, it's absolutely, this is a really tasty, it's a Sauvignon Blanc.
Okay.
If you're asking.
So that's,
what do you,
go ahead.
No, I was just gonna, what are you drinking this evening?
I got a little Diet Coke action. That's a little, cheap Jack in there.
All right.
Not a lot, just taking it easy. Tomorrow night's going to be a J-Lore, 2017 cab. That sounds fancy maybe to you if you don't know anything about wine. If you know anything about wine, it's not fancy at all. Why?
It sounded good, though.
It's the Sam's Club special. This was it? March is special, so maybe they got a new one. But if you're trying to get into wine, a great place to go is Sam's Club, because they'll have 1 to 3 cabs on sale. And when I say on sale, anywhere from like $6.99 to like $13. And so... I'm really into dry red now, because I like, you know, whiskey changed my entire palate. So, yeah, go there. It's like $13 right now at Sam's. Of course, I heard that they're quite difficult to get into these days. So maybe you just order online. But tomorrow will be J-Lore.
We're full of tips and all kinds of, you know, this show is a full service show. This is, I've been saying it lately, I kind of feel like, and I would love if you're listening, whether it's on the playback or live here, like, I feel like this is like, everybody's got their favorite morning sports radio show. And I feel like you and I are like the sports, because we'll get into the scores. Don't worry about that. We'll talk about our playoff hopes
for sure.
But before we get there, we're going to talk about our wine. We're going to talk about our smoked ribs. We're going to talk about our wedding plans. And but we're going to have some fun, and we want you to come along with us for this crazy ride.
Haven't even mentioned the smoked ribs, Pete. I wish I had some to
we're
share.
Good, like, 10 minutes into the show, we haven't even said the word ribs yet.
No, that's because last week was the one where I smoked 3 racks of ribs. And let me tell you, when I get it right, Mandy is so happy. I smoked these ribs. I swear to God, I'd pay like $30 to go out and eat ribs that tasted this delicious, this succulent. The amount of meat on the bone, mwah, was great. And we are a full service here at Streaming Star Wars, just like a 1997 massage parlor in Chinatown.
I don't know if we're that full service, my friend.
We give you pleasure. Pleasure for the brain and the membrane.
Oh, my God.
Here we go. Yeah. Streaming Star Wars Episode 17 on a Friday, April 3rd. By the way, next week, April 9th, my birthday, Pete. Don't forget,
buddy. Next Friday's your birthday?
Hell yeah. Guess how old I turn. We'll get to the scores eventually, folks.
I'm going to say you turn 28.
Damn. Did I tell you that?
Yeah, I kind of knew what age you were.
Oh, my gosh. Really? I'm sorry.
But I'll tell you what. You were born the year I was able to drink. So
really?
Yeah.
1992 was a good year for you, huh?
Yes, it was. It absolutely was.
Well, it makes a lot more sense because I always say, man, when I grow up, I want to be like Pete Fletcher. And
now you know what?
Hell of a lot more sense now. Jesus, I was just a sperm when you could start drinking Jägermeisters. All right. Well, hey. Well,
I'm not saying I wasn't drinking before because, you know.
Now that's a bad example. Something else that I pride myself here on Streaming Star Wars with Amo and Fletcher, a show where we're supposed to talk about all things Star Wars streaming, but tonight we're talking about all things not Star Wars streaming, is the parenting methods of Pete Fletcher. And let's
I'm not saying what my kids are doing. They will. I'm just saying.
What a double standard we have in quarantine times. Also, I feel very self-conscious for anyone watching on the live stream because this hoodie is from work. I'm trying to keep the logo down in case I say anything too inappropriate, but it's tight on my chest, but it kind of flares out on the midsection, which makes it comfortable. But like, it's like you can see my nipples, and I just feel like that's too tight of a hoodie. You shouldn't be able to see a man's hoodie,
never a hoodie.
So I'm really trying to like stretch it out, but then it's whatever. So hey, you know, these are personal problems. When you have to stay indoors for so many hours on end, you start nitpicking at your own hoodies. But this is the one that fits, and this is the one that gets the airtime. So we're just chock full of it tonight. Wow, 28, Mr. Rez is shocked, or maybe he thinks that by my behavior I should be significantly younger. Although everyone thinks I'm 32, older women really like me. Jick Magger says, great show. Nick says all the important stuff. Jesse says, I want smoked ribs. Yeah, I really wish you would have come over before quarantine, Jesse. That was a reality. Now I'll see you in November. JLS Comics says, ribs, I want some. We could possibly make that happen if we lived closer. But I guess I should start some business on the side where I'm like, smoking ribs and mailing them off. Other restaurants do that. Why can't I? Rick sure. Villanueva joining us in the live chat. Tech Help 101 News Class found your stream. I don't know what that means. I guess I wonder if those are my students. That'd be strange.
You teach a news class?
Yeah. So I teach a high school class. I'm very concerned now who this could be. I can't swear now on the show. No, I have to be censored. No. Yeah. I teach a high school class in Quincy, Illinois. We do intro to broadcast, and right now the class is a little on a hiatus. I'm just making sure. I just want the kids to like respect their parents and do the homework that they're given from their classes. But this is terrifying. Who this could be? I don't know who this is. I'm not going to get a name here too. So them bones, quality content. Maybe there's some sarcasm in the live chat right now, but we're having a damn good time. And I will say this: I will ask you that we've got 332 people watching right now, 292 people watching right now. Either YouTube's trolling us, or we actually hit the jackpot tonight. But either way, hey, let's talk about Star Wars tonight, Pete. This episode of Clone Wars here, I've tried to get us on this topic three times before we talk about like smoked ribs and marriage and coronavirus. Right. Anytime we get the Pike Syndicate, I think it's a real thrill. We've got some glances in Solo. We played with them a lot in Clone Wars. And now we're seeing, honestly, the torture in this episode is what stands out to me, the method, the shocking of the Martez sisters. How did that play with you? Because you got some little ones. We talked before how when we got to season 6 with Clone Wars, it felt like the show had really matured. And then we had the hiatus. We come back. Yep. I've been, like I've said before on this episode, I was not happy with these last two episodes just because the show didn't feel like it had direction. This got dark very quickly. A lot of direct shots taken out a lot of pikes, so that surprised me. But well, you know,
it's funny you say that because that was as I'm watching this episode, it struck me for the first time how many I was like literally I was thinking about going back and counting how many pikes get shot because they are indiscriminately shooting everybody as they swing by and also I took note that the pikes have about the same accuracy as Imperial stormtroopers and that they were missing all over the place. But your question about the torture was, you know, it was. This is one of the things that I've written, and I just on Fanthatrax, my buddy Mark Newbold has asked me to write little paragraphs about the episodes. And one of the things that I noticed about that I've started to recognize about Disney Plus over the last you know, X number of months that we've had it is, where it's most successful is when it's reminding us of things we've seen before, when we're playing in places that we're comfortable, that we've seen, and we've been, you know, we've been around before. So Mandalorian works really well because it feels like a comfortable place. It's not too new. It's a new story, but it's not too new. But it's also it's a great place. And I think we're seeing a lot of that in this season of Clone Wars. Those torture scenes are, you know, they're right out of there with the Han Solo on Cloud City kind of torture scenes. But they were intense, man. I mean, Rafa got the crap beat out of her in the torture room. So,
yeah, it took me back. It really did. I was baffled by it. Because I think that it's such a harsh turn from where the series had been going. Keeping in mind, you're doing the Bad Batch arc to kick this season off. Those were just droids being taken out. You know, I think that was the allure of having the droids in the prequels was you're going to have this massive amount of war, but they're droids, so it is what it is. To see this direct, and like I said, a harsh turn really caught me off guard. I really liked it. I did really enjoy it because I just feel like we're getting back into the tension in the galaxy right now. Because what is the impact of the Clone Wars on the underworld? Trade routes mm-hmm. are probably more restricted. Republic monitoring those routes, but also the Separatists. And also, this is like so insider baseball when it comes to Star Wars. When you're watching these movies and episodes, I pray to God that the people aren't. I mean, I think there are, and that's fine because I do it sometimes. But like, just enjoy the episode, then go back and really try and like dig into it. But like, this is such an insider baseball concept. But really cool to think about, the underworld is so pressured. And the Pikes right now are trying to get that spice because they want to push out, what is it, death sticks, whatever that, you know, addictive drug is that they need, you know, this stuff, the spice for. So I like how it's not just this message of don't do drugs, right? That PSA that we got. But now it's just like, okay, here's the nitty gritty. And it really worked well for me. The episode went by very fast. I was frustrated when it ended because I felt like we had just gotten to this climax. And I was like, my God, like it took us 3 episodes, Pete, to get to that moment where we've taken out all these Pikes. We think we know where the ship is. You know, I thought the way it was shipping out, or the shaping out, I should say, I really anticipated whether it was either going to be Ahsoka busting out the lightsabers, or our hooded Mandalorian friends were going to come down on jetpacks and save the day. Were you getting the same feeling, or was I just going way ahead of everyone else?
Nope, I was right with you. And I think that is the only frustrating thing about this particular episode to me, was that it literally started exactly where it began, right? It started with them in the cell, and it ended with them in the cell. So this is... that was a little bit frustrating in a way. This episode, maybe the only one where I agree with people that it didn't really advance the story. However, that being said, one of the things that I think I said last week, and I continue to believe, is that we're learning about Ahsoka. We're seeing Ahsoka making her own decisions for the first time, and making her move the way she wants to make her moves. And so, yeah, we're going to see, it's not going to be epic in scale. That being said, I think one of the things that was really great about this episode was that it showed her on her own. It showed her dealing with, when do I use the Force? When do I, you know, use it for good, or for the reason I need to use it? And I thought that was really good, because I think that's Ahsoka's story. Ahsoka's story is, I was a Jedi. I'm no longer a Jedi. If I use my Force powers, people are going to know. And so it's a big deal. And I think it was a good introduction to it. And of course, the introduction of 3 Mandalorians who played a very small kind of tip of the hat forward to something coming up. If not, and I think it's possible that it's actually leading more toward Mandalorian than the TV series than something happening in this show.
Yeah, for sure. And I guess the assumption is it's Bo-Katan in there, and 2 other Mandalorians that maybe we've met before.
Well, in the credits, you see Bo-Katan, and you also see Sabine's mother is the other person who's named. We're going to think of first name. Ursa Wren, is that what it is?
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
Somebody in the chat helped me out, but I think, it's Ursa Wren. And And so there's a, you know, there's a theory, of course, within hours, within minutes of the show airing, there are theories out there. And one of the theories I saw was that Ursa Wren is potentially the armorer, which would be pretty wild.
That would be, and I've been calling for a connection like that for that character. I've said it before. I hope that, the armorer returns in season two of The Mandalorian. Last we see the armorer, she's about to take on, what is it? More stormtrooper? Was it stormtroopers that she's about to take on that are trying to infiltrate the sewers that are chasing out Grief and all of them? So that would be a real thrill. I love that idea. I'm so in love with that idea. Would love to know what everyone thinks about in the live chat. And while we have a second, if everyone in the live chat, just please take a second and tweet us, post us on your Facebook, any of your social media. Let's see if we can double the live chat. Let's have as many people talking. If this is your first time watching Beyond the Blast Wars, be sure you jump in. The live chat seems to be fluctuating, but we were wondering, would quarantine help us out? We've been going between 55 and like 400 people in the live chat, or at least live watching the show. So if you're new to the channel, be sure to comment down below. We want to have a Star Wars conversation with you. Glad that you're giving us your Friday night here while we all stay inside in quarantine. Okay, hey, so is there anything that we're missing here, Pete, on this episode? Also want to ask the live chat if there is something that we're not talking about this episode that you want to talk about, or there's something specific about final season of Clone Wars, hit us up down in the comments below. We will go through that before we go on to the next topic. Pete?
Yeah, I think the one thing that I would say is really interesting is you're watching sort of this evolution of Rafa, and you're seeing her kind of start to come to terms with the decisions she's made. And I think that that's classic Star Wars. And so I think it's funny. I liked Trace in the first two episodes of this arc. And now I find her a little bit wishy-washy, and I'm starting to like where Rafa's going. So I thought that was kind of a cool connection.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that. And what do you, and this is maybe where I'm being a little too critical, but we just got out of prison, and keep in mind, we've been pulling the Martez sisters out. We've been pulling Ahsoka out. We're torturing one. We're pushing the other one. Like, everyone's in and out of the cell. I feel like there were ample opportunities to escape here. We are actually out of jail. We are running away. The Pikes are behind us. We're going to take time. We're just going to just start hanging out, and we're going to climb on top of boxes and, oh, there's the ship up there. We just have to go up there. We're shouting in the middle of the streets. So a drunkard points us out.
It was telegraphed. Yeah. It was fairly telegraphed.
It kind of, I guess it was in that moment where I realized, oh, the climax is over. This baby's wrapping up here. But that was that was the only moment that I really was just like, dang, nabbit. Don't worry about the damn silver angel junker. Like Big Sis says, find a ship, get the hell out of there. But I thought, I think this episode was just such a stronger overall story. I think the action has a lot to do with it for me. I do think that's something that we lacked here in the last two episodes. You know, Ahsoka's speeder burning out in the first of this arc wasn't, you know, anything special. But yeah, it seems like, okay, here we are. We're getting back on track, and we're getting ready to get Ahsoka back in the hands of the Jedi, not part of the Order, but working with the Order. Let's go to Mandalore. Let's go kick some mall butt. Looking forward to it. Let's go in the live chat real quick. I want to see if there's anyone saying anything. Jesse's reconfirming that it was Bo-Katan. It looks like everyone is just having fun, just enjoying themselves. And that's great.
Rick made a comment on the music, and I was going to also reference that. I totally agree with Rick. I think the music in this particular episode was really strong. Again, I think the last, and maybe it's this arc, but I feel like the music is playful but serious at the same time. I think they've done a really, really great job with that. Kevin Kiner has done such a great job proving, you know, again, he gets what Star Wars music means. But he also can make it. It doesn't feel like he's ripping off John Williams, right? And it's not so out there like The Mandalorian, which I've come to absolutely love. But it's clearly Star Wars music, and it's done so well, and it really showed up nicely in this one.
I'm really glad you pointed that out. I'm sorry that I didn't have you on camera to be able to make that point out loud.
That's all right. You heard me. That's what counts.
I was someone who said that I was very vocal that I wish Kevin Kiner would have done Rogue One. Would have done Solo, would have done The Mandalorian. just for every reason you said, it was as if Dave Filoni is the heir apparent for George Lucas to storytell. Kevin Conroy seems like the heir apparent to take over for John Williams. And then the rumor was that Michael Giacchino would be the one to do it, since he did Rogue One, and everyone's like, oh, that would make a lot of sense. And then people like kind of hated on that soundtrack. When you think about it, Michael composed that movie in 3 weeks.
Right.
And there are some beautiful elements in that soundtrack. I hope he gets another opportunity to do a Star Wars movie. I don't know if he will or not. But Kevin Conner is just leaps and bounds. He is exceptional. And yes, the influence of Williams is present there, but there is an expenditure of that catalog. And that's what's so incredible about his ability to compose. Nothing feels out of place. It all feels very natural. I would love for him to be the composer for Kenobi. I think that would be incredible.
I think that's a possibility. Yeah, I think so.
Be really good. Everyone in live chat having a really good time. Rick Villanueva, 2/3 of this episode was a circle until Bo showed up. I don't think you're wrong, Rick. Jesse says some darker tones in the episode, the torture of the Pike getting cut in half by the elevator lift. Did not mention that, and I thought that was awesome.
Good point. Really great. And again, I think that was the part that made me like, wait a second. They're killing a lot of dudes in this episode.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot. I think I'm going to go back, and tomorrow I'm going to watch the show, and I'm going to count how many Pikes are killed. And I'm going to say it's got to be like 25 or 30.
Easy. Absolutely. And that was something that I don't remember a lot of in this series before showing was – people being shot at, and you're seeing that grittiness in The Mandalorian, which is exceptional, but you expect that it's live action. You know, Jon Favreau, Dave Filoni, very honest about it. You're going to see the underworld. You're going to see this not post-apocalyptic, but this post-Return of the Jedi world in The Mandalorian. But to see that level of violence in this cartoon, where the assumption from, I think, those on the outside is, oh, it's for kids. This is a show that has a higher rating. There's a higher intellect that's goes into these episodes, just because it is a more mature program because of its past. So, yeah, great to point that out, Jesse. My God, I mean, it's right up there for me when you think of the first kill that you get in The Mandalorian, where the guy gets cut in half by the door of the bar, the cantina there.
Yep,
like that is Star Wars. Like, that's cool stuff. And I love that adult Star Wars, because this is something that I think we've said before on our individual shows, but not here. You know, not all Star Wars is going to be meant for you. You know, like, I'm not into the kiddie Star Wars books, but The Mandalorian is for me. And, you know, we get to share, you know, everyone gets their incarnation of the story, which is so fun. Live chat blowing up. Really fun to see this. Yes, if you are watching, please hit the like button. And thank you so much for spending your Friday with us. We hope wherever you are, however you're watching, you're safe. You're with loved ones. You're with friends. Of course, we're quarantining. We're self-distancing. But we're taking our mind off of all that stuff right now. We're just talking Star Wars here, and it's been a full show so far. So far, we've covered the most recent episode of Star Wars, The Clone Wars, next week together again, the April 10th episode, the day after my birthday, Pete. I'm just saying, I've said it once, I've said it twice.
I can't believe it. I can't believe you're going to be 46 years old. You do not look 46.
I need some high-end bourbon sent to me in the mail. I deserve that. Wait, 47? What did you just say? It's not even close. Like, if someone was like, Pete, you look 47. That's a compliment right now for you. If you say that to me, no. What a jerk.
Wait a second. That might have been the most backhanded compliment in the history of backhanded. If somebody told you you look 47 right now,
says the man who's been tweeting for like the last 48 hours that you have what kind of beard do you have? An old man Luke beard. You're wearing a hat right now because you look like a hobo.
Yeah, I definitely have. I'm working the, I just had a guy named Fluke Skywalker on, Around the Galaxy, and there's my first plug of the night. And, but he's got the beard, man. And I feel like that's where this is going to end up before I'm out of quarantine. So I'm kind of enjoying it. My wife and kids don't like it, but whatever. I'm going to be like I said to you before we got on, I'm going to be sitting on the front porch with a shotgun shooting zombies by the time this whole thing is done.
No, you're fine. Hey, you know what? That's what we're here to do. We're just here shooting zombies, talking about Star Wars, having the best time, you know, on a Friday night, because this is what we do. We talk about Star Wars and celebrate with friends. And sometimes we give backhanded compliments. I'm taking that clip though. And I'm making a promo for this episode. It's happening without a fail. It's going to be a great time. All right. So it looks like the live chat is having a good time. Nick, is April 9th Ammo's birthday? He hasn't mentioned it. Oh, now I've mentioned it for a third time. Thank you for setting that up. I appreciate it. Somebody also had a birthday within the last... Who just had a birthday? I want to shout them out. Someone just had a birthday last week. My birthday
Pedro Pascal.
Oh, it was Rick. Okay, that was great. And it was Pedro Pascal. Was it really his birthday?
Yesterday or today, I think it was. Yeah, yeah.
What do you
think
Pedro's birthday is like? I mean, it just... I mean, I'm thinking like... I mean, he's a family guy, right? He has kids.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he... well, you know, he's probably like talking about how I was in The Mandalorian, but I was only in like... I only had to show up on set for half a day.
Isn't that wild?
Just, what a great gig.
That's such a great gig.
He had the best death in Game of Thrones, and he's awesome on in the 48 seconds he's actually in Mandalorian. Well, he does all the voices, so we have to
give him. But he's in the voice booth.
That must take like an hour and a half every season to do.
Well, kudos to that guy. We all want a job like that. Pays a lot of money, not a whole lot of work, has great health benefits. Okay, hey, it's a Friday night. It's streaming Star Wars. That's when we're doing the show live, having a great time. Fun fact, Pedro shares a birthday with Alec Guinness, according to Rick in the live chat. That's pretty cool. Okay, let's go on to the next topic. And to do this the right way, let's see if I do this the right way. Here is, you know, we mentioned that we're talking about Clone Wars, but we're also talking about, we're also going to be talking about the fact that we got some news in the streaming world. And it's kind of been silent. And I'm not saying that to be rude, but it has been oddly radio silent. And I think that's just a sign that all industries are impacted by what's going on in the world. By all means, there's a global pandemic and I'm not getting Star Wars streaming news. How entitled does that sound? But I'm going to pull up this web story right now. I think I pulled this off well. Here we go. Yep, did it. Oh, Pete, aren't we proud? On the fly, streaming Star Wars episode 17. We are going live on the internet. Hi, everybody. This is why you probably haven't lost your mind so far in isolation quarantine, mm-hmm. because you have the internet. Can you imagine if it was 1985 and you didn't have a smartphone? Oh, my gosh. Like people are having all these like Zoom chat calls and they're like acting like this is a brand new technology. It's like, folks, we've been able to do this for a long freaking time. What's the story we're actually talking about, Pete? Obi-Wan Kenobi, Disney Plus series, enlists Joby Harold as the new writer. What is this dad joke I'm seeing around the world? Joby-Wan Kenobi, Pete, come on.
Come on, that's way too easy, right? Way too easy.
Well, you're the perpetrator. You're the one that's promoting this crap. And people listen to what you say.
Well, I first saw John Hoey say, I was going to say Joby-Wan Kenobi, but I didn't. And then moments later, I saw a story from Jason Ward where he used that in the headline. And, you know, you got to jump on that bandwagon when you can. It's a bad joke. But I'm trying to figure out why he was selected. Because I'm looking at, and okay, here I am. I'm trying to be positive, but the best thing on there, on his resume to me is the John Wick series. He did 2 and 3. But he's working on like Bumblebee Part 2. He worked on King Arthur Legend of the Sword with Charlie Hunnam and Jude Law. Like, I don't know where this is coming from. Now, that being said, there are plenty of up-and-comers and or people we're not that familiar with who've worked on Star Wars that have made it really good. But I don't know how this fits into all of the rumor mill around Kenobi. And you know, we were supposed to be moving forward with it and what's where it is. And it just seems strange to me. And it seems to be fairly reliable.
Yeah, I think so. And it's pretty, I think it's a huge upgrade for the program. And I'm trying not to step over myself because what has been the rumor that we've been hearing, Pete, is the fact that there has been a lot of concern over the script. Originally, this was supposed to be a movie. Now it's been turned into six one-hour-long episodes. And the concern was the script did not feel complete. And we also have heard this with the Cassian Andor series, which is why they were in production. They were actually on location shooting. They went back to the writer's room because there was mm-hmm. concern about the quality of the script. And so here we are getting Obi-Wan Kenobi news. Of course, oh my gosh, help me out with this one. But we know that directing this Obi-Wan Kenobi series is Deborah Chow, our director friend from The Mandalorian. The best few episodes of The Mandalorian happen to be directed by Deborah Chow. That is fact, not fiction.
This is true.
Fact, not fiction. What are we missing here, though? I think it's a great compliment. Like you were talking about, he has a great past or a good track record, and he's a hot writer right now.
But I'm trying to figure out the connection because okay, so John Wick is a good series, but there's a bunch of other stuff that it just feels disconnected. That being, like I said, there's a lot of weirdness to this. He just doesn't feel like the right fit to me, but I who am I to say, honestly? I really don't know.
Well, the one thing that I can think of is being attached to a John Wick franchise, for example, you know, it's so single character focused, which I think is kind of the approach of a Kenobi series. And Ewan McGregor has even been on the record talking about how it's getting into his head and it's like PTSD after the Clone Wars and feeling a sense of failure. And so how does, you know, an Obi-Wan Kenobi in the desert protecting young Luke Skywalker handle all this?
Right.
I think is pretty interesting. I do want to mention here, and this was a Variety exclusive. I want to make sure that we get it out there. We get that out there. I want to make sure that's why, you know, we have the full screen going. Ewan McGregor confirmed last August that he had the role. Obviously, he came out there with Kathleen Kennedy, and it was at that time they said all the scripts were written and shooting was supposed to start this year. So that was before even COVID-19 happened, okay?
Yeah.
So now what does this do? I would say that there's delays. I would feel like there has to be delays. Now down here, let's see here. It looks like it was announced the start of production had been delayed from August 2020 to January 2021. McGregor downplayed that. There was that interview with Variety a little while ago. There's a link here on the story if you want to find that. But yeah, it is interesting because we thought that we were ready to go with production for this series, and maybe any kind of hiccup with would just be COVID. But yeah, with losing Amini back in January on the project, here you are. You have to kind of, I guess, allow Joby the time to go through and gut and trim and put in. And interesting to see. I wonder how much this changes the direction. I would think that Deborah Chow still has the overall say on the direction of this thing. Of course, what's been discussed with Kennedy, Filoni, you know, the list goes on. What do you think about that, Pete?
I think it's, I think it's what's really strange, and I think we talked about this before, is that this is the kind of stuff that happens on every single movie, every single series, every single television show, but we're just seeing more of it because for whatever reason, I don't know how all the information gets out about the Star Wars things, and it causes panic, it causes anxiety in the Star Wars community, and that's just bizarre, and that's a challenge. But I don't know. I think if Deborah Chow is there, if Joby takes his John Wick experience and applies it to Obi-Wan, we're in for good things no matter what. But it just feels like it's kind of out of the blue, and that's what makes it kind of a strange story. I don't think anybody was expecting it. I think we all kind of thought that the stories were in good spot at this point, you know?
So. Well, yeah, and I guess that's the point that I was trying to make earlier, even though it wasn't as nearly well articulated as that. I'm not going to panic because there's still ample time. And I think if anything, the current climate in our world buys more time for the project. So I will remain optimistic. Man, I just really want to see this series happen. Yep. We've been asking for it for so long, you know?
Yep. Yeah. It's funny. It's between Kenobi and Cassie and their two series that I'm excited about, but didn't ask for, but can't wait to see them. So.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you on it. Okay. So we've talked about the Kenobi thing and it was pretty easy to get through. We already talked about Clone Wars. Big thanks again for everyone stopping in to watch this episode 17 here of Streaming Star Wars. Had some friends of the show stop by. had some of my students stop by, and I hope I didn't say anything I'll regret in the future. hey, so the final topic we have for this week's show is kind of rumor. I think it's more rumor than anything right now, Pete, but I'll let you break this one down. This comes from our friends over at MakingStarWars.net. And what is the good word here, Pete?
Well, the word is that, and what makes this interesting to me is it's saying that Jamie Lee Curtis has been potentially cast as a fairly large role potentially in Mandalorian season two. Now, what I find interesting with this, first of all, is, you know, as I'm not 28, I'm older than you by a number of years. So Jamie Lee Curtis, was an important part of my childhood. She was a lovely, a fairly attractive woman all through those days. But that being said, it's really cool to see because she's just a cool actress. She was so good in Knives Out. She's been, you know, a very powerful figure in every film she's ever been a part of. But what I find, again, much like the Joby rumor or Joby story, I don't even know if it's a rumor. It appears not to be a rumor, but it feels like it's out of place. Like a lot of the information we've had about these series is out of place. The fact that Rosario Dawson gets named last week, we also get Jamie Lee Curtis, and we also get, why can't I think of his name? He was in, I know him from Terminator. He was also in, was it Michael Biehn? Is that what it is? Michael Biehn?
Oh,
Biehn?
Yeah.
Is it Michael? Hold on. I have his name here. Yes, Michael Biehn, who I know him. My favorite role of his was in Tombstone, where he was Johnny Rio, or I think was his name. But he so now we're getting three new major casting rumors and stories coming after we thought that the stories had been shot and had been ready for start to go into post. As October will be here much sooner than we expect, but I'd love to see her. There's no, you know, there's no indication as to what role she'll have, if it is a major role or not. But just to see Jamie Lee Curtis in a Star Wars production seems pretty cool to me.
I think so. And I'm going to read an excerpt here from the web story on MakingStarWars.net, if you don't mind. It says, quote,
"Please do.
There's a chance Jamie Lee Curtis is going to be one of the stars of the second season of Star Wars, The Mandalorian. I can see her playing anything from a rebel to an ex-imperial. She really has the power to play any of these parts and has a bit of star quality that Carrie Fisher had. We don't really see much anymore. If this is accurate, it is more inspired casting for The Mandalorian, and I really hope this one pans out. I think she is fantastic." And so one, this reinforces the fact that this is rumor that we're talking about here on Streaming Star Wars, nothing factual. But the idea is the fact that she has been shooting something else nearby. There's a chance that she's involved with Avatar 2. The idea is that they're just, these projects are so close that she might have had a chance to go over to the set and check out, you know, be able to check out the set for the day. I think if it's something like that where I believe that there's a real option for that. I think that there's a real potential for her to have popped over for a day. I don't think she's a leading star of season two. I could see her having a cameo.
Right.
I wonder, let's see, the Inquisitorius would not be existing anymore. And so I think that it would be safe to say that if anything, maybe she's a bounty hunter that makes a quick pop in, or maybe she's just someone at a cantina. I'm not quite sure, but I'm just not willing to make any kind of wager on the fact that she is a major player. You know, and I'm like, this whole comment about, I think this is interesting, Pete, and I'd like to get your insight here. What do you think about what do you think about this comment about how Star Wars kind of likes lacks the star power? Maybe it's like the legacy career. You know, Jamie Lee Curtis spans several decades, and she's been in iconic roles. Like you mentioned, she was a big part of your teenage years, apparently. but you know, I think of like a Pedro Pascal, who's leading this series, one of the hottest names in Hollywood right now, just because of what he did on Game of Thrones. You have Carl Weathers playing Grief. Okay, maybe I guess you'd call him a B-lister, but I mean, between Happy Gilmore, the Rocky movies, obviously his catalog is more extensive than that, but I would say like that's a really respectable title. I don't know. I go to like the new, movies. Like, let's keep, Felicity Jones was in Star Wars. I don't know. I guess I'm a little sensitive to that comment. I feel like every Star Wars story that we've gotten, especially here in the Disney era, there has been some like left field, awesome name attached, in some way that really got me excited. Forrest Whitaker playing freaking yeah. Saw Gerrera in Rogue One. So I'm not taking on, like, I'm not bashing Jason at all when I bring all this up by friend of the show, want him to come on as a guest eventually when his schedule allows. But I guess I was a little surprised by that kind of statement in the story. I could also be taking it way too seriously too. I mean, I've done that before. I'm guilty. Well,
I also think though so you take a Michael Biehn, you take a Jamie Lee Curtis, a Carl Weathers, you know, that kind of actor, and put them in this, and they're notable, but they're not going to pull you out of the story. I mean, actually, you know, I felt like when I heard Carl Weathers was going to be in it, I was like, oh, I'm only going to see Apollo Creed, but he did a nice job with it. But they're not going to pull you that far out of the story. My prediction is, if Jamie Lee Curtis is in it, I predict she's an old Imperial officer, and just sort of, and I think it's one episode. I think it's very similar to, and I think that's what's been great about Mandalorian, is it's these one, I've sort of likened it to a comic book series, in that you can pick up one issue and you can enjoy it, or you can see the string between issue one and issue eight and enjoy the full story. So, and you know, let's not take anything away from Taika Waititi, who is probably one of the hottest directors and one of the funniest roles in any of the Marvel movies. So they are getting names. I'm with you on that.
I feel bad because I didn't mention Taika, and I feel like that is maybe the biggest. Start of The Mandalorian. You got Jon Favreau producing and leading this whole Mandalorian, this whole revitalization of Star Wars storytelling. You know, it's going to be the way Star Wars is told until at least, 2023, 2024, because who the hell knows what this has done to the plan to get Star Wars back in the theaters. You know, originally we were saying 2022, but I think that the world is about to have a year pause. I think that's how it's going to be. There's going to be another flare up, I think. So, you know, we need to be prepared for that. So maybe we're going to be focused on streaming Star Wars for at least another year solely to allow everything else to kind of catch back up.
Thank God there's a great show where you can keep up with all that stuff.
You know, there is a show, and I heard that it shamelessly promotes itself even on its own show. What's that show?
It does. I think it's called Streaming Star Wars, I think is what it is.
Yeah, with Ammo and Fletzer, right?
Yes. That's the one.
By the way, I'm Ammo, he's Fletzer. And if you didn't know, you can always follow us at Streaming SW on the Twitter. That's where we post links when we go live, updates. Some days we're really great at it, and some days we try really hard at it. You can also find the live show, as course, Beyond the Blastors YouTube channel. The time varies, but usually we hit that 9 p.m. Central Time. Friday nights here on the Beyond the Blastors YouTube channel. Always catch that audio replay, the podcast form of our show, on the Around the Galaxy podcast stream, wherever you listen to podcasts. That's the big news. When we're talking about Disney Plus, Star Wars content, what's going on in front of the camera and behind the camera, that really is what is happening in our world right now. Pete, anything that we haven't touched upon that you think is really important before we hit hyperspace and get out of here?
Nope. I'll just reiterate one of the things I think, you know, your point is really important. And that is, I think Disney Plus Star Wars is where it's going to be for a while. So I'm excited to see what they're bringing us.
Yeah, really thrilled because the things that we're not talking about that we know are in development that we want to get a little bit more concrete information on, obviously, is Kenobi. Getting the details on when we're going to see production start. Obviously, we just got done talking about how there's a new writer finally on board after about a month and a half, almost 2 months of not having a writer on staff. What's going to happen with this spinoff series we're hearing about, Star Wars Rebels? We're hearing that Ahsoka and Sabine are going to be the leads of this series. What is that going to look like? What is going to be the feel of it? Is it going to be a grittier show taking off where we left off with Rebels? It really seems, and we can end on this, Pete, it really seems like the key ingredient to get a Star Wars story greenlit right now is put Ahsoka front and center of it.
You know, I was, as I referenced before, I was on with the Force Host ladies, and we were just talking about that, how Ahsoka is like the string between prequels through to Mandalorian. And I think it says a lot about the role Filoni's playing. And you know what? I'll take a Filoni-led Star Wars any day.
Yeah, I mean, I do agree with that. I'll take Filoni on any kind of day as far as the Star Wars story that he tells. But do you think, the conversation used to be for Star Wars fans, are we too reliant on Vader? And now it seems like we're getting a lot of Ahsoka. I'm not complaining, but I'm seeing the argument made out there. You know, is the you're saying that there's some legitimacy to it?
That we'll see more Ahsoka? Yeah, I think we will. I think so. And you know, it's interesting. So if you take a look at the characters that we have in place that are sort of the tent poles, right? You have Anakin, you have Luke, you have Kylo, you have Rey, you have Palpatine, you have Obi-Wan. You can't say those characters without remembering the role that Ahsoka played in almost all their lives other than Kylo. And for all we know, maybe she has a role in Kylo's life. So Ahsoka is, she's a very, very important character. And I would love to see how, she is becoming a really important thing to Star Wars. And I think that's really interesting, especially because I was absolutely one of those, who the hell is this Snips cartoon character, right? I had no interest in her.
Well, you're a grumpy old 47-year-old man. I'm not surprised that you don't appreciate Ahsoka Tano.
That's true. But now I've become, somebody called her an Ahsoka, I'm an Ahsoka Stano, and I'm a big, I'm a big fan of her because I love where her, and a lot of people are not thrilled that, you know, we only get 12 episodes of the Clone Wars and four of them are her bouncing around with these two sisters from the lower levels of Coruscant. What's going on? I love it. I think it's great Star Wars.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think it plays more to the world building than the overall climax of the season, which is the Maul Ahsoka face off, the conclusion of the Clone Wars. Is it not the conclusion of it, but how this syncs up with Revenge of the Sith. That's what I'm excited to witness. And I guess I'm one of those people that you're referencing who's impatient with this Ahsoka arc. It's picking up steam for me. This has been episode 17 of Streaming Star Wars with Ammo and Fletzer. I'm trolling my buddy Jesse in the live chat because I asked him if he got one of those cool Ahsoka posters that I got at Star Wars Celebration. Yeah. I was like, hey, did you get one of those? And I wasn't trying to be a jerk. And he's like, no, I believe you have one and you used my ticket to get a second one. That is what happened. I don't think he wanted it though. Like, you were cool with it. That's why he gave me the ticket, right? That's why you gave me the ticket, right, Jesse? Oh man,
you can send it to me if you want. I'll give you my address.
Bullshit. That thing is beautiful. I cannot wait. So we're moving to a new place and I'm really excited to get in, move our stuff over there because the setup is just going to be, there's going to be more space, which is really exciting. And I cannot wait because I want to get that photo framed and hung up so bad. Jesse is a lot of things in my life. He's a friend. He is a steak connoisseur. He is on Beyond the Blast Wars with me. And he also is my framer. He frames my shit. And so I'm really excited to get that up on the wall. Also, did I get that signed? Did I get that signed?
By who?
Did I get that signed by Ashley? Oh, I don't think I did. Did I get signed? I didn't get anything signed. Jesse freaking got stuff signed by like Ian McDermott, I think.
Look at that.
He got stuff. Who else did he meet? This is bad. Oh, this is such a big brain fart. We got a couple other signatures. It was a lot of fun. but Jesse was the one who paid the top dollar for that. And he just let us jump in the shot and take photos with him. So I have a photo with Ian McDermott. He put his arm around me and I touched his butt. I just was like, hey, here's a little love squeeze. It was fine.
Wow.
It didn't happen. I just think that was funny. If there's somebody in the world that would give the Emperor a little bit of a butt squeeze, it probably would be me.
It would be you.
I'm going to run with it now. We're starting that rumor here on Streaming Star Wars with
Amos. I'm telling my children that you squeeze the emperor's butt.
Yeah, that's right. Uncle David. He doesn't have any boundaries. That's going to do it for episode 7 of Streaming Stars. It's been a blast to be with you tonight. At some times, it looks like we were able to get YouTube to tune in, which is exciting. Maybe that's the benefit of everybody being locked indoors, is they're forced to watch our sub-quality content. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I think we actually have a really good show. And it's about damn time people actually tune in. I think we're a lot of fun. gosh.
Am I allowed to say that? Am I allowed to say it?
No. Screw it. I mean, we are the show that shamelessly plugs ourselves to ourselves.
This is true.
Which is fine. You know, I guess we could start posting photos on Twitter. We'll start taking photos together. We live like, 1,500 miles apart. So we'll have to do some photoshopping, but we'll get there.
Hey, we can do it.
This is a spiraling conversation.
Yeah, now would be the time to get out of it, I think.
The only thing that has a stronger spiral than this show right now, honest to God, is my toilet that I had fixed by the plumber just hours ago. It is a sturdy flush. It is one of those two-button flushes on the toilet. And, I mean, it's just lighting. Just,
wow.
You can throw a whole quart through the toilet.
I would recommend that. No plumber. That.
Well, no, it's currency now. Hey, you know what's so funny is we've already passed the closer at 10. We just talked over the closer, so I'm gonna do it again. I'm not even joking with you. I'm gonna do it again. Can I load it back up?
Go for it.
This is why I want to do something. Just look at Pete right now. I don't even know what the closer just talked over or went over us. I don't even know what we were talking about. I think I was talking about the fact that the toilet was fixed. And we were spiraling out of control, and the spiral of the show is similar to the spiral of the water swirl in my new and improved toilet. I'm going to play the closer now. I do take this really seriously. I really do, Pete. I love you a lot. Good seeing you. I'll see you next week.
See ya.
Oh, my God. Prayers for Pete Fletzer, Ammo, this show, and you. May the force be with you.